We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Most people don't realize, but Sur La Table is the largest non-professional cooking school in the country. So of the 134 stores that we have, a little over 80 have a cooking school, and they are run by and managed by resident chefs who are employees of Sur La Table. And so almost 600,000 people annually will take a Sur La Table class. And so that combination of product and experience, you know, service and expertise, we feel are what separate Sur La Table, and we can do it at scale.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. If you've ever visited a Sur La Table, you know it's a wonderland for anyone who loves to cook or just loves kitchen gadgets. In just a moment, we're going to be speaking with Sur La Table CEO Billy May about how they create an experience that customers love. More after this. Today, I'm very, very fortunate to be joined once again by my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Bill. So happy to be here.
Well, I know you're happy to be here. We've been talking about this for like 2 days, almost nonstop. You kind of like Sur La Table.
I love Sur La Table, well, and I love to cook. So I have the body to prove how much I love it.
Well, you've got Sur La Table at the table.
There you go.
Billy May. Billy, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here, and it's especially great to have you here with Susan because I'm not the cook that Susan is, and you two are going to have a wonderful conversation. I'm just going to try to ask some pertinent questions, but let me start with this. How did you get to Sur La Table?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, obviously, I got a phone call for this opportunity to run an iconic, authentic cooking and culinary brand. I wasn't necessarily looking for a CEO job. I mean, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next professionally. I liked the idea of developing and running a business. I liked the idea of developing and running and enhancing a brand. That was something that was really important to me. And for the last 15 years of my career, I've really been focused on digital transformation inside large omnichannel global type brands. And this was an opportunity to take that experience, marry it with a brick and mortar business that hadn't kind of transformed around those capabilities and a real opportunity to drive fundamental change. It also helped that I was a fan of the brand. I certainly enjoy the category and always have. And so I had an affinity coming in. And I think that when you marry that, you know, kind of passion with interest in the business, with the opportunity, those sorts of situations don't arise very often. And it was one of those things where I just said, this is worth taking the meeting. and it's been I've been in the role now for a little over a year, and it's been a great adventure so far.
How large is Sur La Table?
So, you know, we're privately held, so we don't publish, you know, financials, but we've got 134 stores in 32 states. We're a national player. We have a unique model because we have a product model, certainly where we sell product. We have a digital business, which we're aggressively both growing and integrating into our core operation. And we actually have an experiential, really a service-based business. Most people don't realize, but Sur La Table is the largest non-professional cooking school in the country. Mm-hmm. So of the 134 stores that we have, a little over 80 have a cooking school. And they are run by and managed by resident chefs who are employees of Sur La Table. And so almost 600,000 people annually will take a Sur La Table class. And so that combination of product and experience, you know, service and expertise, we feel are what separate Sur La Table, and we can do it at scale.
Right.
So being able to, you know, take that business, being able to take an opportunity, take a product, bring it to life in culinary, take an idea or a trend and bring it to life with customers that are interested in having a hands-on experience. That's something that certainly is on trend, knowing that experiences are certainly, in many respects, more valuable today or enhance the value of the product. And that's something that's authentic to Sur La Table as a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're looking to certainly enhance that and grow that. But you take those different components within our overall kind of retail go-to-market strategy, and it creates a very, you know, compelling and differentiated offering.
Susan, before I step away, because I know I'm about to hand this over to you, but I do want to ask you this one quick question. I mean, part of that model, I think, is brilliant, where you bring these people in, you do the cooking school. I'm sure that they do one, they'll probably do two, five, ten. It just becomes kind of something that they look forward to. They bring friends. It becomes an event. And then you have a loyal base. You have people that are in your store thinking, well, I use this. I've got to get that. That's brilliant, really.
You know, there's a lot of conversation in the market today, you know, certainly about experiences, but you'll hear a consistent conversation around customer acquisition. How do I acquire customers? I got a great idea. How do I get my brand in front of customers? And if you're an investor, it's probably one of the most critical questions, because you could easily go bankrupt trying to acquire customers. And for us, the culinary program, the experiential culinary program, is our number one acquisition vehicle, because not only is it an entry point into our brand, it's an entry point into the category.
Right.
So if you don't even know how to use a knife, like it sounds almost trite, but there's a lot of customers who don't know how to use a knife. And if you're going to spend $100 on a really good chef's knife, probably should know how to use it. So it's a great entry point for a young consumer, maybe a young couple who are starting their life together. And in many respects, for a generation who didn't grow up knowing how to, as silly as it sounds, boil water. We don't teach that class, but it's everything from, you know, a knife skills class to one of our most popular ones, which is a croissant class, to a date night. So you could spend money for two to go out for dinner for 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours, or you can have an experience where you can make dinner and have a date night and something that's really memorable. And it's a great entry point. So if you don't have an amazing cookware set, or you don't have, you know, an amazing tabletop set, but you're starting that process, here's a way for you to trial, to experiment, to learn. And it's a great way for us to develop that relationship with the consumer. And certainly we're competitive promotionally, because, you know, selling product is a table stake for us as a business. But the services piece, the culinary piece, the experiential piece is really both how we get customers in, and it's our opportunities to get customers back.
Got it. I'm going to sit back.
So, okay. So I have taken some of the culinary classes, and particularly the knife skills. And so I know that you have to use a bear claw.
Yes.
Which is really interesting for someone who was only using paring knives for most of her life and actually developed the skill. I want to understand.
Susan, what is a bear claw? You can't just say that.
Okay. So it's the way you hold your hand. And so you're protecting your fingers, and the knife will only go as far as, you know,
your
joint.
Knuckles.
Oh, so that's how I sliced off the
that
end of my
correct.
Thumb.
There you go.
Okay, don't
it.
Lead with your thumb.
Got it.
You've been doing these classes since 1996, if I've done my research right.
That is correct.
So that really makes you an experiential leader. I wonder, can you share anything about the conversion from people who go to the classes? How quickly do they move into the store and say, I need that Le Creuset, I need that whisk, I need whatever it was?
You know, it's not only, again, a great way to get customers into the category, but certainly into our own retail store. So for the most part, anywhere, depending on the class, from a third to half of customers that take a culinary class go into the store and buy something afterwards. Mm-hmm. It could be what we used in the class. It could be something unrelated that they didn't realize they needed. But connecting that experiential piece in culinary with the retail piece and the product component, you're engaged. Yeah. And you're discovering and getting the chef who demoed the items to go with you into the store to talk about product, to have, we've invested heavily in associate training to get the associate to engage with and explain why this item is different from this item and why you might want this versus this, or you didn't know that you needed this item with this item. Right. And so the fact that you're there and engaged obviously leads to higher conversion. An opportunity for us is if you're engaged and converting, that's in that moment in that store. Mm-hmm. How do we continue that dialogue after you leave? And we don't do that today. It's we're building some capabilities to do so, to tie that together. So it might be for the other half or the other two-thirds who weren't ready to buy today. Maybe they wanted to go home. Maybe they wanted to see what they had in the cupboard. Maybe they wanted to do more research, and that's fine. But how do we continue to engage that dialogue and that journey after you leave the store? And that in and of itself is looking at customer conversion and customer value as opposed to the moment. Mm-hmm. So how much did we convert in that moment? Right. And you, a lot of talk in the industry around it, and we have an opportunity to really connect the dots on it, but we haven't done so historically.
I want to ask you about food trends and how it relates to the food trends that are happening versus the products that you're selling. So one of the things that I'm seeing so much of that I don't remember when I was growing up is cast iron. Everybody talks about cast iron, but I'm sure you're much more enmeshed in what are the trends right now?
Well, you're seeing not only a trend towards and reversion back to a lot of what makes great cooking. So a great cast iron enameled cookware, and the ability to use it for a lot of other things. I think, you know, as a kid growing up, my mom had some of that, and she used it for very specific things. Right. In today's environment, the customer's not looking for just a brazier to do braising. They want that item, which is going to take up shelf in their kitchen, to do other things. And so there's certainly a trend towards multi-use. So if I'm going to invest hundreds of dollars in an item, how can I use it for other things? How can I use it for stovetop and to oven? So historically, the product might not have the same strength to handle high heat. So you had a stovetop set, and you might have had an oven set. But in today's environment, how do you use them for the same?
Right.
And so where you go from stovetop to oven to tabletop for serving, that's multi-use that the customer is really looking for today. I also think that we're seeing great trends in nonstick, which nonstick's been around for a long time, and there was a lot of backlash against nonstick because of health and environmental reasons, including a class action lawsuit. We were early in the game moving away from a lot of the bad PFOA type products and chemicals, and we became a strategic partner with a brand out of Denmark called Scanpan, which is, as you're familiar with it, it's kind of a house brand for us. And it is carried at other retailers, but we have a relationship with them, which we've had for a decade. All of their product is not only environmentally safe, it's non-toxic. It lasts for a long time. It has high heat strength. You can take it from oven to tabletop. It's got multi-use. And we not only have exclusives on some of their lines, we collaborate with them. So we do product development, collaboration, true product development where we want this type of handle, we want this type of cladding, we want this type of packaging with the brand and the vendor. And because of our position in the marketplace, certainly we have that relationship and that credibility to work with them. So right. We're seeing a trend in the market around that category. And I also think that while social has certainly changed the dynamic of the space.
Sure. Food TV.
TV, yes, exactly. It makes it amazing and interesting. And we went through a time period this past spring where we were really trying to be trend forward. driven by a lot of that, you know, whether it's food TV or social or, you know, that overhead shot that's sped up where it's a 7-step recipe that you see in 25 seconds. Seems so amazing and interesting. When people get into it, it becomes much more challenged. And so we wanted to be at the forefront of that movement, and whether it was Food Trend or, hey, it's Korean street food or some of the others. What we actually found was there's an ambition around that, but there's still this desire for comfort. Mm-hmm. There's still this desire for, that's fantastic, but I just want to know how to make great fried chicken. It sounds, you know, kind of basic, but the customer's inspired by what they see, but that's kind of like going from algebra to advanced calculus.
Right. Because when you come in the door at 6 o'clock and you say, I really want to produce a good meal, but I'm starving. How do you do it quickly? And often it's going back to the things you love, but finding a way to do them better.
Absolutely. And how do I have some confidence that I can make this, build this, deliver it for my family that's nutritious, all these things. So we started kind of, I would say, twisting a little bit of those middle of the road comfort food. So it wasn't just fried chicken, it was Korean fried chicken. So it added a unique kind of twist that drove interest. And so there's a bit of a ambition from a customer standpoint where trend-wise, they want to be on trend or they want to try or they're inspired by, but when they actually, the rubber meets the road, there's the reality of, I just want to know how to make like really good pasta or really good steak or, right. You know, which part of that is that confidence piece. And that's something that we think Sur La Table has a unique kind of market position around.
You've done an amazing job of inspiring that customer culinary journey in the physical space. You're working on it in the digital space. What do you envision as a digital guy? What might be something you can do to boost that aspect of it? And this is from someone who spends tons of money with you online because it's just so easy.
Which we appreciate.
But but digitally, how do you kick it up a notch?
Well, you know, I think that part of it is the inspiration of product discovery. You can't replicate the hands-on culinary experiential piece online because it happens in the real world.
Right.
You know, part of it is how do we bring that to life? So how do we bring that content to life? How do we bring that experience to life? So if you don't live near a class or you took a class or you want to take a class, how can you share in or experience that that excitement? How do you bring to life that brand emotion? And today we're probably heavy on product and not enough on some of the content and creative. And we're in the process of addressing that. We've tested everything from online cooking classes to product video and tutorial. And I would say that the customer acceptance is a bit spotty. From my standpoint, part of the way we can win is through, let's say, the life cycle marketing component. So if you bought X, how do I send you a reminder on how to use it? So if you buy a Lodge cast iron skillet, which you might use if you go camping, and the best way to have that for 50 years. I have a great aunt's cast iron skillet, which she used 50 or 60 years ago.
And I was going to tell that story because I have the same. I have one cast iron skillet and it's been in the family for generations. And it's like a privilege.
Yes.
And I use it for two things, cornbread and fried chicken.
Exactly.
Two things.
And it's, you know, it's seasoned.
Right.
It distributes heat, all of those things. But if you bought new, it doesn't have all those characteristics. Well, you can actually season a cast iron skillet to, you know, advance the cooking components of that. And most customers don't know how to do that. So if you buy one, wouldn't it be great if we told you how to do that? If you purchased an automatic coffee maker from us, not a basic level, but a more premium automatic coffee maker. Wouldn't it be great if we told you not only how to use it, almost like a genius bar type, but we might actually remind you when it's time to clean it. We might remind you when it's time to change filters, things like that.
Are you talking about Nespresso?
Nespresso might be one, yes.
Every time you walk in the store, you can sip Nespresso, and it's a huge perk. And then you just walk around and sip and buy. It works.
And browse and discover. And obviously,
sip and buy, browse and discover. That's pretty good. I like that.
Hard to replicate online. You're drinking your own coffee and at your own home. But you know, how do we replicate that sort of discovery experience, which part of which happens off our own site? Mm-hmm. So whether it's through social, certainly, whether it's through partnerships, we have relationships with everybody from James Beard to Bon Appetit. And so how do we take our brand and put it in a different context? A great example of that is we have and will launch a television program, which will be on A&E. It's on Saturday mornings. So first episode will air the first part of October. It'll run through December. It's a program called Scraps. It got piloted last year on the FYI network. The feedback from a consumer standpoint was overwhelmingly positive. And Scraps is a concept that we kind of incubated internally, where it's around not just being, you know, kind of scrappy from a food standpoint. So how do you do more with less? So around food waste, which, you know, we throw away tons of product on an annual basis. How can you do more with it? To time waste, to financial waste. So how can you be more scrappy and do more with less, save more money, and oh, by the way, have more confidence in delivering great food product? And so the gentleman who leads our culinary program, this is a passion of his. And so it will be a program where he will travel around the country, different locations, different cities, different chef partners to make a scrappy meal. And we think it resonates with a consumer today who loves to be inspired by the amazing photography they might see in social or what they see at other venues, and then they're disappointed when they get home and they can't replicate it. And right. You know, cooking is fun. Cooking is messy. Cooking is about making mistakes and improvising, and it's a little like jazz. It's not classical music. And so,
love it.
Scraps and the Scraps program is really the embodiment of that. And it's unusual because you don't think of Sur La Table in that context, and we think it's a way for us. Both, you know, through cable, through online, through, you know, content distribution, to help change the context and to help drive some of that inspiration that leads you into our stores or onto our websites.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And, you know, I come from, my parents are Depression babies, and so we never wasted anything. And my mom always would come up with the most interesting meals, and we never really know what was in it, but we know that it was stuff that we probably had been refrigerated or frozen, brought out to create this casserole. Yes. And you just didn't ask questions, and it was usually pretty good. But I'm the same way. I mean, if I entertain, I have food in the refrigerator, and I'll build it up, and I'll think, okay, I'll use that for an omelet, and I'll use this, and so it's a mindset.
Yes.
And it's just from my point of view, it's just the way that I was raised. So you don't waste food. So.
Totally. My, you know, my kids, my parents were post-Depression kids, and they grew up through World War II and in the 50s. And when I grew up, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, they imparted a lot of those same values upon us. And so on Sundays, we were scrappy before scrappy was scrappy, or scrappy was cool. And on Sundays, we used to have...
You made scrappy cool.
Little did we know. But we used to, and we talk about it internally, we used to have on Sundays what we called a kitchen party. And my mom would take all the leftovers out and put them on the counter and...
I love that.
Make your own. And sure. And honestly, it was, you know, kind of leftovers that were end of life. And so right. And we made it fun and interesting by calling it a kitchen party.
Yep.
And that sort of, you know, you make your own, figure it out as you go. You know, that sort of scrappiness, we think is an opportunity for us in the market currently. And you take things like, let's say, strawberries, which might be bruised or they're not, you know, moldy. They haven't gotten to that point, but they might be bruised or other things. Could you slice those up, put them in ice cubes, freeze them, and then bring them out and put them in a mixed drink. Like there are things that you're like, wow, that's a great way to infuse, you know, flavor into something without going out and buying something new. And most people just don't understand those tips or tricks because I think it skipped a little bit of a generation. And so that's how we can drive interest in the category and make it, you know, kind of new and unique.
That's fantastic. You know, we are way over time. I mean, I got Jen in the background keeping the finger like, come on, let's go. Not the finger, but I mean a finger. But anyway, we Billy, we have a part of this program. I don't know if you've listened before, but we call it rapid fire. So we're going to ask you a few questions. And when we ask, you don't think about it. You just answer.
Great.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is rapid fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC. Start us off, Susan.
What's your desert island food?
Fresh fruit is, to me, a luxury if I'm on a
desert
island.
You'll find that on the island.
It better be really fresh pineapples.
Yeah. So what is the one thing that is always in the refrigerator?
I have kids, so there's a lot of milk. And everybody seems to have their own type. So
we didn't have that luxury.
We have skim 1% whole, and then there's soy milk. So we've got lots of milk, and that seems to be replenished on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite chef?
I don't necessarily know that I have a favorite. There are certainly people that I'm inspired by. There might not be one in particular that it's like, that's someone that I have to. I'm daily inspired by our head of culinary, who is a trained chef, and he's dynamic and interesting. And if you're like, Joel, I don't know how to do X, he immediately knows how to do Y. That's the sort of thing that I think is really inspirational.
Pizza or burger?
I'm probably a burger guy.
Favorite pop brand? Can you say that?
I can. And I appreciate you said pop. Or soda, or my favorite Coke brand. No, so a bit unusual, but I like Fresca.
I love Fresca. Thank you for saying that.
I don't think it gets the appreciation or respect that it deserves.
If you had said Wink, I would have been like, wow, this guy, he is, I mean, spot on. But Fresca, that really, really, that's fantastic.
Billy. I appreciate that.
So anyway, well, we are out of time. And I want to know, Billy, if I want to learn more about Sur La Table and the programs that you do, or our listeners want to, where do they go?
Well, certainly surlatable.com, where you can find a store near you. Again, 134 stores in 32 states. You can go into a store. You could take a cooking class, or certainly this fall, you can watch us on the A&E network and be sure to check out
Sprouts. Really looking forward to that. That's fantastic. Billy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
And Susan, thank you so much for asking all the questions.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the respite. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was more like a listener this time than I was actually a part of the program. And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. And if you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues and your friends about the show. Give us a rating on your podcast app. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.